time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
It's Tuesday morning. God bless you all. Thanks for joining us. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Appreciate our pre-show. Some of you who don't know this, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. If you log into what we call the queue, meaning you go to our website and you, Mike, can you go there real quick so I can show people what we're talking about? When I first started this show 5 years ago, we could get 10 people in what we called the queue. Do you see what it says on right there, folks? Join the queue. There are a lot of people who are watching on Facebook. Some are watching on YouTube. Some are watching on Twitter or Twitter. I mean, I don't even know if we're there anymore. We're on Periscope. I don't know, Mike. Are we still on all those things? I don't know. People are watching us and listening to us on a lot of different platforms. But where we always ask people to try to go to is right here, CoachDaveLive.com. We will never be banned. We will never be silenced. We will never be, what's that word, shadow banned. That'll never happen. If we play a clip that Facebook doesn't like and they pull it down, it's always here. It's always here at CoachDaveLive.com. And also you have the opportunity, if you want to do what they call join the queue. See Larry's ugly mug there? See Roger Weaver and Jeff Klein. You see all the, maybe you guys can't see these, but over along the side of my screen, I've got right now 47 people who are in here. 47. You see, well, that's not very many. No, it really is. It doesn't sound like very many, but I tell you this. If I was doing a terrestrial radio show and I had 47 people, 47 calls backed up that people wanted to talk to me, they would say, my goodness. The phones are getting slammed because I used to do terrestrial radio. So we have right now 40, 47, it goes up and it goes down, 51 people available at any time to hit a button and be able to join us. That's like talk radio. Now, some of you go to Facebook, some of you go to different places and you would comment there and that's okay. But folks, this is where the action is. Right here is where the action is. And then all you have to do is click on join the queue. Just a second, Jeff. Just click on join the queue, and then Mike lets you in, and then you can be one of the people here that can comment, be part of it at any time. So if you're out there and you're wondering, how do I get in there? How do I join the queue? That's exactly how you do it. Go back to it again, Mike. Show people how that process works. You click on join the queue. When you click on that, it takes you to that page right there, and then Mike lets you in. Now, we don't know how many people can join the queue. We really don't know that. Now, I mean, such a thing as Zoom out there. There's different platforms. We've always used Google Meet. And like I said, when we first started, it was 10 people. 10 people.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been wrestling with the Google Meet thing because they're changing their platform. And depending on the package you have, I think the package that you guys have, you can have 150 people in this room.
Well, Jared's all over it, so whatever it is, Larry. I mean, it's good, right? It's the public forum, which they want to shut down. Go ahead, Jeff. You want to say something? I shut you down.
That's right. But try and get in on one of them other stations. This one, you click and say, Coach, and you're like, yes.
That's right. It's the ultimate dial-in phone network. So join the queue. Go in there. This is where we would suggest everybody come. And not only that, you can get in early and you can stay late. And we discuss before and after and a lot of good stuff. Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say that, you know, this is like talk radio. And there is no call screening.
There's no buffer, no call screener.
No bruffing, no call screener.
No,
but today, this morning, I logged in as I usually do through an incognito login so I can place the name Silver there because Google don't like Silver.
Really?
And it will not let me in anymore.
Isn't that something, huh?
They so don't you see me twice now. Oh, I have a camera running on one end, and I have the phone because I have things I have to do while the show's going on.
Gotcha, Joe. So we could talk right there, right? So Joe Farrell, who goes by the name of Silver, when he plugs in Silver, Google won't let him in, right? Because they don't want people buying silver.
That must be what it is.
Oh my goodness, crazy, isn't it? Crazy. Yeah. So again, you can get in the before and after discussion. And a lot of times when I come down to do the show, my entire show will change by the fact that somebody in the queue said something in the little 5 or 6 or 10 minutes we have before the show starts. This morning, Larry did it again. He did it again. And I got some good stuff I want to share with you. But listen, we better understand this, folks. Can somebody, just off the top of your head, can somebody please show me anytime, anywhere, where Jesus made a deal with the devil? Can anybody show me anywhere where Jesus compromised on truth? Can anybody do that? And I know you can't, so I'm not going to wait for you to answer. But we see it everywhere we look, don't we? Christians want to be peacemakers. By the way, Mike, is that Matthew 7? What is that, Matthew 7, Mike? I think it is. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? 5, Larry. Yeah, Larry's right. Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5. Yeah, thank you. I should know that.
Dave, they don't want to be peacemakers. They want to be peacekeepers.
Well, that's right. See?
But need to be peacemakers.
So, folks, look at verse 9 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers, not a peacekeeper. Not a peacekeeper. No, no. My wife and I sometimes require a peacekeeper. What's a peacekeeper? Somebody to intervene in the middle and negotiate a settlement. Anybody say amen out there between you and your wife? Sometimes we need a peace. Sometimes we need a peacekeeper.
Amen.
Yeah, but and sometimes the peacemaker is the one that goes in there and kicks butt.
You call the cops.
He makes peace happen.
You call the cops and the peacemaker shows up, folks. The peacemaker. So this doesn't say blessed are the peacemakers. And we've got this misconstrued idea of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said this to Michelle this morning just before I came down here. The Bible says peace, peace, and there is no peace. We cry peace, peace. And there is no peace. Hey, folks, how do Christians have peace with baby murderers? How do you reach consensus? How do you reach compromise on baby murder? Folks, how do you reach compromise and peace on the destruction of marriage? Can somebody show me the middle ground? Can somebody show me the middle ground, the peacekeeping of pedophilia? Can somebody show me that? Can somebody show me where the middle ground is, where the peacekeeping is of corrupt government? Can somebody show me where those are? And see, we can't even pick up the Bible and read what the Bible says, and it says, blessed are the peacemakers. Why? Because they're called the children of God. Because peacemakers are not compromisers, folks. We're not compromisers. Peace, true peacemakers do not compromise. I have certain principles in my life that I will not compromise on. Now, I'm going to ask Roger Weaver if he can name for me, can somebody name for me one national public Christian leader on radio, TV, wherever, any national Christian spokesman who will not compromise? Can anybody name? I'll wait for a minute. Anybody give me one? A Billy Graham? No, sorry. Give me another one. Franklin Graham? No. Give me another one. Give me one, Mike. Can you give me one? Anybody out there? Give me one.
Mike Blake.
Bradley.
Who? No.
Bradley.
Bagley?
Bradley. Bradley Dean.
Bradley Dean. Come on, man. He's out swimming in the bushes like me. I agree with you, Jack, but he doesn't have a platform.
Dr. Ken Hogan.
He doesn't have a Christian. He's created his own platform. God bless Bradley. I'm not poking fun at Bradley. God bless him. He's had to elbow in and kick around. And they don't let him in churches. They don't let him in churches because why? He's a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. Peace, peace, where there is no peace. Our churches are full of pablum pushing peacekeepers. That's all it is. They don't even want, listen, they don't even want any controversy in the church. Huh? You try to come into the church and you cause a little bit of stink and they're going to take you in the back room and they're going to straighten you out and tell you, brother, don't you come in there and sow discord amongst the brethren. Amen, right? So now simply questioning the leadership is now sowing discord amongst the brethren, right?
Then they're done that.
Yep. So we're in the mess that we're in because our pulpits, American Christianity is full of peacekeepers. Peacekeepers. I'm a peacemaker. Hey, Mike, pull up Mario Murillo. I don't know who shared this. Was it Randy shared this with me yesterday? It is so good that I have to share it with you today. Because this is one of the, I don't know much about Mario Murillo. I don't know if he's a Seven Mountain Man. I don't know. All of you out there are going to send me emails and No, that's not the one. He writes every day. If you guys aren't following Mario Murillo, go down to the next one, Mike. That's the one I want to read. So just scroll on down and you'll get the one I want to talk about. There it is. I'm looking for misfits, rebels, and true warriors. Mario Murillo wrote this the 18th. And they say it's not good radio. This isn't radio. They say it's not good radio to read, but I'm going to read this to you. Because as I was reading it, my wife was pounding me on the back because I was having a heart attack. Couldn't believe what I was reading. Mario Murillo says, wanted, misfits, rebels, and true warriors. I'm looking for those who aren't waiting for permission to save a nation from destruction. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
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 Today,
amen. Amen. Amen.
Today I write about violence. Today I write to the violent. Woo! Boy, I got a goosebump there. There's no point in talking to those who are afraid of their own shadow or those who can't wait for a return to the same old, harmless, lukewarm religion as before. When America reopens, this blog is not for those who practice cuddly Christianity. Can you go up a little bit higher on the screen, Mike, for me, please? Thank you. Matthew 11 says, for the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. You see, the left says, be good little Christians. We got this. They warn pastors. Amen. Just because the pandemic is winding down, that doesn't mean we won't stop telling you when you can meet and what you can preach. They say, get used to less privacy, less rights, less money. They use that cursed phrase, new normal. So are you going to bend or stand? If you answer stand, keep on reading. I'm on the hunt for misfits. I'm looking for those of rare hearts who defy the lie. I'm going to pause again. Somebody say amen. I'll wait.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I'm looking for amen. Amen.
Who defy the lie. Those who confess with conviction that every dream, every vision, every strategy that God gave us is unchanged by the virus. Scroll up, Mike, please. What are you doing during the shutdown, warrior? My guess is, speaking of the warriors, instead of downgrading your dream, you downloaded defiance. You didn't relax, you reloaded. You aren't whimpering and whining, but forging and shining. You aren't mooing with the cattle. You're yearning for a battle. Amen, Mario. Scroll down, Mike. Remember, even before all this happened, you withdrew from the religious rec hall. Mike, there you go. They're good. You withdrew from that religious rec hall. There's a good word for you, Larry. A religious rec hall. So that you could go after God. You withdrew from the religious rec hall so that you could go after God. Never forget how sick and empty you felt during those church performances of flash and flash, and foolishness. There's room for another amen. Somebody else, come on in there.
Amen.
Timothy 4 says, in 2 Timothy 4 says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, be turned aside to fables, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Understand how they got evangelist and affliction connected?
Absolutely.
Then there was a day when you read these words, most assuredly I say to you who believe in me, the works that I do, he will do also greater works than these. He will do because I go to my Father. Wow. See, the hunger to see signs and wonders body slammed you. You wanted the real. You wanted the true miracles of Jesus and just not just those sad commercialized parlor tricks that were so popular before the shutdown. Hang on. Good place to say amen again. Good place to say amen again.
Amen.
In fact, the virus didn't shake our faith in miracles. It intensified our passion to see more of them.
Absolutely.
More power, more fire, more miracles. Pacing like a lion in my prayer room, I announced to the powers of hell that I won't back down. I know what the devil's doing. Scroll up, please, Mike. He's fanning hatred towards the gospel. He is using the virus as a pretext for persecution. So what does that mean? It means something to the warrior that it can't mean to the make-believer. Oh, there's a good amen, too. It means something to the warrior that it can't mean to the make-believer. It means we won't back down. We won't stop. We won't dilute our message or lower our voice.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
2 Corinthians says, but we've renounced the hidden things of shame. Not walking in crafty, nor so handing the word of God deceitfully. No. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
How you doing, big boy?
It also means the soldier of revivals facing a two-headed monster. Friends, are you ready for the two-headed monster? One head is the leftist state officials.
Yep.
Man of God, they want to shut you up.
Yep.
Woman of God, they want to dash your hopes and dreams. That's one of the heads. The other head is the Laodicean Church of America. The tepid, compromised, confused, and cowardly hordes that refuse to buck the system, even if the system is after our freedoms and values. They're not going to help, folks. They won't stand. You are grasping at straws when you try to get them to take a stand. No, my friend, you must be prepared for a gallant fight. And on your side are only you and God. But that's always a majority. Are you going to back down now? Are you going to allow God-hating devils to defy side the size of your future? Did the devil close doors for you? God will rip them open again with his own bare hands. The virus and fearful policies that are growing out of it did not and cannot kill the promises of God. But hey, dude, you don't have to stand. You don't have to stand. Even against hell. Forget about what others are going to do when this is over. You prepare for total war. Are you that pastor who woke up to your compromise and failure during this shutdown? Are you in agony trying to figure out how to tell the people that you're now pursuing fire, revival, and miracles? Are you obsessing over how many will leave the church? Stand up, dude! Stand up! Yes, they will leave. Oh, yeah, they will. But for every one of these detractors who leave, 10 true disciples will rise up. Your obedience will bring in lost souls. Your preaching will be crowned with divine healing and miracles. Do you own a business? Alan, do you own a business? Well, then stand against the tide of fake news about the economy. God's going to protect your company. You may be in politics. Forget about votes. Declare truth no matter who it offends. And then watch as God grants unusual favor. You know, I have no time to waste on the timid, cold souls in the bleachers. We have work to do, God's work. So what if it looks impossible? So what if there seems to be a million of them to just two of us? Today's your victory cry, brother. The moment is yours to command. You see, the greatest thrill of life and the greatest honor is following God into dark and impossible situations. We'll say it again. The greatest thrill of life and the greatest honor is following God into dark and impossible situations. Hey, Hillary, we're coming.
I hope so.
Don't let go of this. You might prove the might of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies of heaven. 1 Samuel 14:6 says, scroll up, Mike. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come on, man, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Maybe the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Finally, don't you dare act like it's too hard. Don't flinch, wondering why this has happened to you. This is what your Christianity is for. This is what your faith is for. Don't you dare feel inadequate or shocked. Believe it or not, you've been training for this your whole life, Larry. Long before the virus, God separated you for special training. Randy, long before this shutdown. Mark, the Lord shaped the circumstances of your life to give you the heart and the skills for saving the nation. Put on the whole armor of God so that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done everything you can do, keep standing, boys.
Amen.
Gates of hell cannot prevail against that which heaven has put in you. Stand.
Hey, Coach.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better myself, Mario. Go ahead, Jeff.
Tonight, we're throwing up the big tent. I sit there and watch the scroll down through that picture of that tent. We are throwing up the big tent tonight, Friday night and Saturday night, and this is the message we're bringing. And we will pull off the shofar and blast it, but this way it's not going to be a soft gospel message, Friday night and Saturday.
What time you start, Jeff? Starting tonight? You're starting
well,
tonight?
We'll throw the tent up tonight. It's our Tuesday night church in the garage. David Arthur speaking tonight. But when I throw that tent up on Tuesday, that's the sign in town. The tent's up. It's coming Friday and Saturday night. So we'll do 6 to 8 Friday and Saturday night.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Dave.
Yes.
One thing, too. I just want to say to Chad that I'm really proud of our Texas group down here. But not ego proud of it. We never stopped meeting throughout this whole entire coronavirus thing. We never stopped meeting. No one ever showed up with the mask. We always came bold. Our smallest group was 16 people. We never stopped. So I think, I think we're just trying to be some kind of beacon there. And I think we've picked up people because we kept moving.
Mm.
We'll see courage on that. I'm just saying, I don't know, but that's what I think.
Well, we know this, don't we, Chad? Courage engenders courage. Courage engenders courage. Hey, Mike, pull up the email. It says freedom from tyranny email. I think it's what it says on it. Freedom from tyranny. Wake up, freedom from tyranny. Somebody sent this to me today. I want to read this to you. Hey, folks, if you put your faith in your pocket now, what good is your faith? If you are hiding or compromising on the truth of the gospel now, what good is it? What good is it? Hey, what good is it? And I know I don't want anybody to take this wrong. I don't want anybody to take this wrong. I love Rush Limbaugh. I thank God for everything Rush Limbaugh has done. You know, he announced yesterday his cancer's terminal. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. He announced it. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying as you get to the end of your life, you look at things a little bit differently. You get a little differently. What if somebody was sitting in that chair that led a spiritual revival? You know, Rush spoke yesterday about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder if I was sitting in Rush Limbaugh's chair. I'm not being critical of Rush, please. If I was sitting in Rush Limbaugh's chair, I couldn't hide the gospel. I couldn't say, well, I'm in a secular format here, and you know, I'm talking to I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And when Rush mentioned yesterday that I turned it up, I actually replayed it. When he mentioned a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I thought, go, Rush, go. Keep going, Rush. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going, Rush. Keep going. And you know that they tell us the only thing you're not allowed to talk about is religion and politics, right? Religion and politics. Not allowed to talk about it. Not allowed to talk about it. I hang on a minute. This is on me. I'm going to flip it off of me here real quick. You still have religious leaders that won't support Donald Trump. Still have them. It's the most unbelievable thing I think I've ever seen. You know who they are? They're Pharisees and Sadducees. They're holier than thou prophets. And they don't like the way Trump acts. They don't like that he doesn't act presidential. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I'm not glorifying Trump. I'm not rooting. I'm not worshiping Trump. But brother, if you're not smart enough to know which horse to get on and ride, and how many Christians can't figure out which horse to get on and ride? Go ahead, Roger.
I was just saying, amen, amen. How in the world can you not pick a horse in this race?
Oh, my goodness, man. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. So I got this email today, and I don't know who it's from, but I'm going to share it with you because this is kind of the spirit that's on me this morning. This morning, I realized that everything is about to change. No matter how I vote, no matter what I say, lives are never going to be the same. Folks, do you understand that? Do you realize that? 13 days or whatever it is? I've been confused by the hostility of family and friends. I look at people that I've known my whole life, and they're so hate-filled that they agree with opinions they would never express on their own. I think that I may well have entered the twilight zone. Hey, Mike, get Romans 1 ready. You can't justify this insanity. We've become a nation that has lost its collective mind. We see other countries going socialist and collapsing, but it sure seems like a great plan to us. Somehow it's un-American for the census to count how many Americans are in America. People who say there's no such thing as gender are demanding a female president. Universities that advocate equality discriminate against Asian Americans in favor of African Americans. Some people are held responsible for things that happened before they were born. And other people aren't held responsible for what they did right now. Criminals are caught and released to hurt more people. But stopping them is bad because it's a violation of their rights. People who've never owned slaves should pay slavery reparations to people who've never been slaves. If a dude pretends to be a woman, you're required to pretend with him. It was cool for Joe Biden to blackmail the president of Ukraine, but it's an impeachable offense if Donald Trump asks about it. People who've never been to college should pay the debts of college students who took out huge loans for their degrees. Immigrants with tuberculosis and polio, they're welcome. But you better be able to prove that your dog's been vaccinated. Irish doctors and German engineers who want to immigrate to the U.S. must go through a rigorous vetting process. But any illiterate gangbanger who jumps the southern fence is welcome. $5 billion for border security is too expensive. But $1.5 trillion for free health care, well, that's not too expensive. If you cheat to get into college, you go to prison. But if you cheat to get into the country, you go to college for free. And pointing out all this hypocrisy somehow makes me a racist. Nothing makes sense anymore. No values, no morals, no civility. And people are dying of a Chinese virus. But see, it's racist to refer to it as Chinese, even though it's Chinese. We're clearly living in an upside-down world where right is wrong and wrong is right. Where moral is immoral and immoral is moral. Where good is evil and evil is good. Where killing murderers is wrong, but killing innocent babies is right. Wake up, America. The great unsinkable ship Titanic, America, has hit an iceberg. It's taking on water. Sinking fast. See, the choice is yours to make. What will it be? Time is short and of the essence, 2 weeks. Make your choice wisely. Freedom or dictatorship. And if I had written this, I would put a question mark at God bless America? Question mark. So that led me to Romans. I'll shut up a minute. Somebody got a comment? Give me Romans 1 ready, Mike.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
If you can, if you get time today, man, video that live on Facebook if you can. You put Think About It at the headline at the top of that sucker, man. That needs to go out. We need to get that out there, man.
I'll make a video on that. I'll make a video.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, the most, to me anyway, the most impactful thing that you said in that whole reading there was the realization a long time ago that things are never going to be the same again after this pandemic, plandemic, scamdemic. Doesn't matter what you call it or what the real circumstances are. Doesn't matter. Because what matters is things are never going to be like they were before again.
They're never going to be the same. Never going to be the same. And that's why we find ourselves in such a tough dilemma right now, is because how do you make plans? Can somebody tell me how you make plans into December? Anybody? How do you make a business plan? Hey, Alan, how do you make a business plan not knowing what's going to happen after November? Can somebody help me out here? How do you make a plan?
Coach, can I say something?
Please do, Joe.
4 days or 5 days a week, I go to this plant or this killing field over here. But Mondays, I volunteer with the VA to help out the VA. So yesterday, I had two VA guys that were trying to get their life back in order. One was an amputee. One had his internals messed up with the Gulf War. So I took them to the Social Security Department because they wanted to get their, get on with the Social Security. The Social Security has been closed down for 4 months. No plans to open up. Mm. I took the vets. I saw people going in the back, and there was a line at least 20 or 30 people back there that were non-citizens getting Social Security cards. I got two vets here that their lives have been destroyed, and they cannot even get in with the Social Security system. Fought for this country and can't get on with the Social Security, but they'll give Social Security cards to non-citizens.
It's treason.
Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you.
And this is the Trump administration Social Security system doing that.
It's not really.
I mean, it is, right? It's swamp, right? Our government's run by unelected bureaucrats. We all know that.
Amen.
Yeah, Jack.
Yeah, I want to address what Larry said. The idea, I totally understand the concept that we're never going to go back. Nothing, we're never going to go back to where it was before the pandemic. But that's not necessarily true because we're living in the Overton window. And yeah. If you and I, as we've been doing for all these years, push really, really hard to the other extreme, it comes back. And we don't like doing the opposite extreme because we become targets. And it really kind of sucks. But we can bring this back with God's leading, but we could also get God's intervention. But we may not be allowed.
Let me throw this in here. We don't want to go back to the way it was. No. The way it was legalized murder of babies. The way it was is what we see on the ground now. The way it was led to what we saw on the ground. We want to reset. We want to reset. And that message has been screamed loud and clearly from at least one source I know.
That's good. I'm good. I'm good with that. But we have to reset it by going to the other extreme, not to back to normal. There is no such thing as normal. And since 1900,
folks, if you don't understand, Mike, scroll down to about verse 18, if you will. See, look, folks, if you don't listen, if we didn't have a media or what the fake news, does anybody out there, would anybody, any seriously serious thinking person think Joe Biden had a chance?
No,
if you didn't have the media, if you saw what you see with your eyes, would you believe Joe Biden's going to win? Of course not. Of course not. Right. No way. There's no way Joe Biden's going to win. Yeah, we understand that Joe Biden might get elected even though he didn't win. He has eight people. When he goes to speak, he has eight people. Trump's driving around America. There, people are coming out everywhere. Yet you're taught not to believe your eyes, right? Well, I want to make a connection here, okay? I'm in Romans 1. Romans 1, because of what we just read, what I just read about how everything is upside down and that we are the ones that are supposed to compromise and that it's never the left that ever compromises, right? Right? Didn't the homosexuals, didn't they just want to be able to be homosexuals? And then didn't they just want to be married? Didn't they? You can't compromise with evil, friends. You can't compromise with it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Folks, there is no such thing as truth in unrighteousness. It does not exist. So when they say they hold the truth in unrighteousness, they have locked the truth in like a box and they won't let the truth out. This is where the wrath of God is being revealed. The wrath of God is already revealed. Why? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. A man has a penis. A woman has a vagina. It's Amen. Clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See, I don't care if a man wants to grab another man's wiener. I don't care. Why do I say it's okay? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in the way they thought. Because their thoughts became stupid and vain, taking captive every thought that exalts itself against the truth of what we know, the knowledge of God. When that happened, their heart got darkened. See, the mind changed before the heart did. We think the heart changed first. No, the mind changed. Their minds, they became vain in their imaginations. And then their foolish heart became dark. And then all of a sudden, you got university professors telling us that 8-year-olds can choose their own gender. Because why? Well, professing themselves to be wise. And what are they? They're fools, and we know it, and we tolerate, and we put up with it. And Larry, we compromise. They don't compromise. We compromise. We change our laws to accommodate these fools. And what they do, they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In other words, there's no difference between a human being and a bird. So therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart. There's that heart again, that darkened heart. God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Men having sex with men, that's dishonoring you. That's not honoring you. That's not honoring. So, I'm sorry, sir. Allowing a man to insert his penis in your anus is not. Oh, my goodness, Lord. How did we ever get to the point where we said that was okay? See, it's not them. It's not them, is it? It's not them, is it? Go, Jack.
Hey, how did we get there? I'll tell you how we got there. One of the most powerful messages I ever heard was given by a man that was functionally illiterate, could barely string six words together, but the message was, the term we use, not so bad. How was that movie? Oh, not so bad. Really? Where'd you? Well, it wasn't so bad. So how much bad will you accept? And it was the simplest message. So we've accepted not so bad, and we keep accepting not so bad, and here we are in the pit of hell.
So, Jack, we send our kids in school, and on their own, they will look at a man, and they will look at a woman, and they will see the difference, and then we have to convince them that what they see isn't true. That men and women aren't really different. What do? They change the truth of God into a lie. They worshiped and served themselves. And then for this cause, what cause? Because they changed the truth of God into a lie. God gave them over to vile infections. For even their woman began to do that stupid stuff and do that which is against nature, like murder their babies. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men having sex with men, that which is unseemly. And then receiving in themselves the payment of their error, which was meat. See, to receive in themselves, they become what they do. I'm going to say that again. They become what they do. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, no kidding. God gave them over. See, they did it first, and then God said, okay. They chose. He gave them over to do those things which are not convenient. So in other words, anal sex ain't convenient, I guess. You got to all kind of get all. I'm sorry to be so graphic. You got to get lube and napkin. I'm guessing. I don't know. Ain't convenient. And then being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness and full of envy and murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers and backbiters and haters of God, despiteful and proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now he's going to speak to you, Christian. Knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not tolerance. Not only do the same, but we put them in the pulpits and let them lead praise and worship. And tell them how much Jesus loves them. We have pleasure in them that do it. See, Romans 1 is a conviction of us and our compromise with it, our toleration of it. The idea that can't we all just compromise? And we have compromised ourselves halfway to hell.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
Get along.
Go ahead, Vinny. Rodney King, the gospel. Rodney King, why can't we all just get along, right? Go, Larry.
Yeah, you know, we've compromised. God gave them up. They compromised. You know, we've compromised. And those that, it's more than tolerating and allowing. We've gone beyond that. not we, the satanic social clubs have gone beyond toleration and allowing. They have gone to glorification. And if God will give the ones doing it up and turn them over and take his hands off of them and they ain't coming back, what's he doing to those that glorify what God has rejected? If you glorify what God has rejected, God help your soul, because he's the only one that can.
Larry, Amy Coney Barrett couldn't even come out and say it's wrong. She couldn't even come out and say this is wrong. This is demented. She's not even allowed to say that.
Hey, Coach, it was even worse. What she did say, they maligned. Remember what Craig put up yesterday?
Yep. So, again, don't ever forget Romans 1 is written to those of us who tolerate it. Go ahead, Joe.
Coach, this is written to the entire Christian world.
Yes, it is.
It especially includes Catholics in its hierarchy, because everything you've described here is within it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Amen. And there are Christians who love the Lord. There are Catholics who love the Lord. And we just kind of sit there and look at it and just kind of go, what do we do? How do we get out of this? How do we get back to God? Or do we do anything?
Hmm.
Let God take care of it.
Joseph, here's what we've done, Joe. I'm looking right now at this last verse. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. See, we have taken this verse and we have made this an end time sign prophecy. Well, see, that's what the Bible says is going to happen. Right there it is before that. No, the admonition of Romans 1 is that we are taking pleasure in them that do it. It's not about them that are doing it, and it's about those of us who are watching it.
Amen.
And Coach,
yeah.
I got a question. Is there anything worth dying for?
Well, you're going to die anyway. So. Yeah. Yes.
But that's what we're all afraid of. Is there anything worth dying for? The founders, the apostles, was there anything worth dying for?
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead quickly, Larry. I want to guide around. Okay. I got 12 minutes.
I think it was Joe. He just said, well, what do we do? You know, the people in the satanic, stuck in the satanic closer club saying, what do we do? What the problem is that hasn't been the question they've been asking. They've been asking, who do we follow? Who do we follow? When the word tells them to follow the Holy Spirit, not the 6-foot popsicle behind the platform.
Our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, Larry. They don't even know there's a Holy Spirit. They don't even understand what that means. They don't even know that. The Holy Spirit, they think the Holy Spirit is feeling something and waving flags and dancing around in the church. That's what they think the Holy Spirit is.
And if they hear the Holy Spirit, they'll hear him say, come out of her, my people.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, hey, guys, listen. Hurry up. I'm sorry. I got to get this in. Go ahead, Clay.
Well, I'm just wondering if everybody else is feeling the sifting going on that I'm feeling. Because, you know, when we was talking about things going back to normal, if there was things will never be the same again. Well, I can tell you this, this crisis right here that we're under with the country is sifting people. It's separating families and friends. And it doesn't matter if everything went back to normal concerning the laws, the sifting has already taken place. Patience for being tolerance is over for a lot of people. And some of these people that you know, and you know how they feel about politics or killing babies or anything else, I don't know about y'all, but it's going to be hard for me to look at those people the same way and be tolerant again.
Amen. Amen. Hey, let me wrap this up. Okay, I got to get this in. I'm sorry if I'm stepping on. I'll try not to do that, right? Listen, folks. Mike, bring up the video of, which one is it, Mike? It's one of me going to Hillary's. I'm tying something together here, folks. Tying something together. Mike, it says, Where the heck is it? Coach Dave Live Special is what it says on Mike.
This is our opportunity, Coach.
That's what it's another opportunity. I'm going to go back to Hillary's. Everybody just leave it alone. Let me finish this up here, okay? This is important that I get to say. I want to show you this. So for those of you who don't know, I've been to Hillary's three times. We took a group of people with us twice when I went. Once I went alone. Twice I took a group of people. This is the very first Mike, didn't I just send you a link that you can just click on? I don't know, but I'm running. So let me talk as Mike brings this up there. I went to Hillary's by myself. I don't know the date. I suppose I can look here and see what the date was. April 22nd, 2019. I went to Hillary's on my own. I'm trying to show you a little video of that. Okay. Please listen. I'm talking about a spiritual significance of this. Evidently Mike can't, I'm not blaming you, Mike. Evidently it's not loading up on there. You can't just click on what I sent you, Mike. Okay. Doesn't matter. Okay. So listen, let's switch gears then, Mike. Folks, I went to Hillary's. I'm going to go again. Why? Because what I just read, it's not okay with me. There it is. Just show people a little bit of this. You don't think I'm full of crap. This is 4/22/2019. I went to Hillary's by myself.
And I've come out here today because I don't know what you folks all think, but I think that our nation is at risk. And that if we don't wake up now, if we don't push back, I'm talking about patriots, I'm talking about Christians. If we don't wake up now and begin to push back, we're not going to have a country much. We saw what Donald Trump just went through, and they still are not letting it die. So I thought it might be appropriate that I get here this morning. It's actually this afternoon after an 8-hour drive to get here and show you. I wanted to bring you to a crime scene. It's raining. I'm sorry for the umbrella. Sorry for any bad sound that we might have. I'm doing the best that I can here, all right? I want to show you something. I'm going to take you to a crime scene, all right? Can you guys see that? These are crimes that we know have been created. We know these crimes have taken place. The Clinton Foundation, Benghazi, Haiti, destruction of emails, Uranium One. And we are here to call for the indictment of Hillary Clinton.
Freeze that, Mike. Listen. Folks, this is 18 months ago, okay? This is 18 months ago. Not just some Johnny come lately. Scroll on a little bit farther, Mike, so they can see when I show up outside of her house. I did this. I was away from her house, and I jumped in my car, and I drove to 15 Old House Lane by myself. I'm driving over there now on the screen, and then I'm going to get out. There it is. I'm pulling up into her driveway, into her cul-de-sac. There it is, Mike. I'll start right there. 15 Old House Lane.
One of the greatest crime scenes in American history right here.
That's crime scene. Right there's a crime scene. We went back two times. Mike, you can freeze
it. Bill and Hillary Clinton.
We filed with the FBI, the state police, and the local police affidavits, sworn affidavits from 30-some citizens that she had committed a crime there and asked them to do something about it, and they didn't do something about it. Now I'm going back. We want you to come join us. We want you to come join us. Come and join us. Say, Coach, I'm scared. So? Me too. We're war. Giving hearty approval. Maybe reelecting these same scumbags. And no, we're not going to do any violence. And no, we're not going to go hang them high. No, we're not going to do any of that. No. No, we're not going to do any of that. But I ain't going to sit around and give hearty approval. Romans 1:28. Give hearty approval to do that. I ain't going to do it. Sorry.
Amen, Coach.
You can if you want to. I'm not going to give hearty approval to it. But I want to show you something else. Oh, Lord, I don't have enough time. Yes, I do. Hey, Mike. Maybe we need to repost this video so people can watch it. That's all right. Stay home. I'll go. Mike, click on. I'm sorry, man. Got questions. I spoke to Steve Deck and John last night. They called me because I'm going to tell you something. My wife made me aware of six or seven really powerful spiritual attacks that have been happening to us that I just kind of brush off and just keep moving forward. October 31st is a high holiday for the demonic side. You know that, right? Michelle asked me last night, Coach, you asking people to pray for you. I covet your prayers. I covet your prayers. We're dipping into some stuff. So anyway, I was talking to John and Steve last night, and John said, Coach, I think you're dealing with Athaliah. I said, what? I thought I was dealing with Jezebel. So, no. Anybody out there ever heard of Athaliah? I had not heard of Jezebel. Well, who was Athaliah in the Bible? Well, Athaliah, whose main name means afflicted by God, was queen of Judah from 841 to 835 and the only female monarch to sit on David's throne in biblical history. Athaliah, look at this, was the daughter of King Ahab and Jezebel. Anybody else get a goosebump right there? And she married Jeroboam, the eldest son of Judah's King Jehoshaphat. And her time as queen is nestled amid centuries of evil monarchs who reigned over Judah and Israel. And an avid Baal zealot, Athaliah, rivaled the wickedness of the kings who came before her and after her. You can find her story in 2 Kings. Athaliah's husband, Jeroboam, was king of Judah until his death in 1841. And unlike his father, Jeroboam was a wicked king. Athaliah's son, Ahaziah, at the age of 22, ascended to the throne and proved himself just as evil as his daddy. So Athaliah counseled her son into his devilish scheme. She coached him how to be evil. And Ahaziah served as king of Judah for less than 1 year, for he was assassinated along with Israel's ailing king, Joram. Their assassin was Jehu. You got to remember the Jehu, don't you? Ran the spear, the javelin through him, who had originally been a commander in King Ahab's army. The prophet Elisha had anointed Jehu as a new king of Israel and commissioned him as an instrument of the Lord to carry out God's judgment on King Ahab and his entire idolatrous family. So Jehu's mission of ending Ahab's dynasty, including putting Jezebel and her sons to death. And Ahaziah happened to be visiting Joram when Jehu arrived to assassinate Joram. And Ahaziah was killed too. So when Athaliah received word that her son was dead, she seized the opportunity to usurp the throne by murdering Ahaziah's sons. She killed her own grandsons. Can you say abortion? Thus eradicating the entire royal family so that she could take the throne. Unbeknownst to Athaliah, a single grandchild escaped the massacre. Jehosheba, the baby's aunt and the wife of the high priest, took the infant Joash and hid him and his nurse in a bedroom. And Joash was later smuggled out of the castle, taken to the temple, where he remained hidden for 6 years while Queen Athaliah reigned over the land and raised hell over the land. As Queen Athaliah used her influence to further establish Baal worship in Judah, installing priests and building altars for her eye. Anybody see a comparison here? In the very temple of the Lord, in this way, Athaliah followed the footsteps of her mother, Jezebel's daughter. After Athaliah had reigned 6 years, the high priest Jehoiada set guards around the temple and publicly crowned the young Joash as the rightful king. In other words, the people reclaimed the territory. As the new king was anointed, the people clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king!" And Athaliah heard the commotion, realized what was happening, and ran out of the palace shouting, "Treason! Treason!" Jehoiada commanded the troops to capture Athaliah and execute her, and so they killed the queen where their horses enter the palace grounds. 7-year-old King Joash, under the direction of faithful high priest, tore down the temples of Baal, smashed the altars and images of Baal and killed the priests of Baal. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was calm because Athaliah had been brought to justice.
Amen, Coach. Justice served.
I'm going to Chappaqua. Love for you to join us. If you can't join us, love for you to support us. If you can't support us, love for you to pray for us. October 31st. We're not going to give hearty approval to those who are doing what they're doing. We're going to be peacemakers. Peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children, sons of God. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.